think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Hey, Mr. Politician, living on that hill, living in that life of luxury on We the People's Bill. Don't have a clue how the other half lives, and that is a shame. It's time to stop the tyranny. You keep pushing through your bills, calling for revolution. Save our Constitution while we still got the girls in our heads. And there's a farmer starving on their land. The rancher tries to feed his cattle and sheep only the people's land. Try and live as a free man. Nobody is illegal anymore. Time to stop these thoughts from feeling what's been got handed down. Calling for revolution. Calling for it now. It's time to steal our Constitution while we still got the guns in our hands. Back the clock of the tyranny. For if we don't, then who will do it for ourselves? And how about our children? What kind of future will we give them? And if we won't, we'll wake up slaves on the book of that nation. Calling for a revolution. Save our Constitution while we still got kamikazes in our head. Calling for a revolution. Calling for it now. It's time to save our Constitution while we still got the guns in our head. While we still got the guns. Still got the guns in our head.
Good evening, this is Truth Quest, and that was Poker Face, and this is KHEN 106.9 Salida. And tonight, we have an interview with co-host Dr. Eric Carlstrom, and we're going to cover 9/11 since it's the sixth anniversary of 9/11. And our special guest tonight is Dr. Ed Ward, and he's an MD with 20 years of general practice, retired MT, Medical Technology, Bachelor of Science, Associate of Science, member of the Board of Advisors, Men's Health Network, volunteered during the Vietnam War, 6 years, U.S. Armed Forces, investigating the government's abuses of the Constitution for almost a decade, covering equal shared parenting, voting, 9/11, DU, Agent Orange, politics, property rights, parental suicides, and the Constitution. And Dr. Ward's work is published on the website, The Price of Liberty, and his work is in assembling some well-researched information that has been a bit controversial among the science community on what brought down the towers in New York City on 9/11. Dr. Ward was also among those who were taken from their homes during Katrina at gunpoint. Dr. Ward is an activist in a number of areas and has plenty to say to help those who need more information as to why we need to re-examine what was passed off as a reason 9/11 happened. But as you see from his bio, Dr. Ward can cover a number of subjects pertinent to now. And good evening, Dr. Carlstrom.
Hello, Melody.
And then Dr. Ward. Oh, boy. Can we hear you a little bit better now? You there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can.
Yeah, okay. I can hear you now fine. Thanks.
Okay, yep. Thank you. Okay. Dr. Ward, I guess what we may as well go ahead and get right into, before I get any further, I want to give a disclaimer of the opinions expressed by the hosts and guests on this show do not necessarily represent the views of KHIN, its staff, or board of directors. And
so, well, I'll be glad to talk to them.
Well, do you want to go ahead and get into what your work is?
My first article on this subject mostly dealt with eyewitness testimony. Started off with Lou Cacciaholi, who was one of the first to come out and say there were explosions inside the World Trade Center. And some explosions were prior to the plane coming into the tower, and some explosions were well after. David Ray Griffith came out with his book not too much longer after that, and he related a few isolated stories out of more than 500 interviews and reactions. When I looked at David Ray Griffin stuff, I went to a few other sources and pulled out over 250 of the firefighters' testimony before the New York Commission. And we had over 250 hits out of, I think, 380 or so testimonials, multiple hits on explosions. Some people were picked up and hurled out of the building, hurled downstairs, lifted up off the concrete, thrown down hallways, gushes of wind at the same time as they heard the explosion. And it's just tremendous testimony that there were explosions inside the World Trade Center. And that got me started looking at some other stuff. I came across the anonymous Finnish military expert who's still in the service, and he has come out with a blueprint and pretty much a diagram, since his area of expertise was demolition, that stated that he felt that there might need to be a small micro nuke placed in the World Trade Centers in order to take care of the cores, because the cores were about 37 cores, I believe. These are 4 inches of steel. Rectangular steel, 4 inches thick, so you're talking about 16 inches of steel that would have been hard to take out all at one time without an immense amount of heat and power. So I started doing some research into what was going on with the debris evidence at the World Trade Center, and did a little background on where we were in the form of military weaponry for thermonuclear devices. And pulled out a lot of good information. We've had a micro-nuke, it was a fission micro-nuke, but a micro-nuke since 1958. Declassified information, the mere fact the U.S. has developed atomic munitions suitable for use in demolition work. That was declassified in 58 and 67. They state the fact that we are interested in and continuing studies on a weapon for minimizing the emerging flux of neutrons and internal induced activity. Now, this is 1967. And most of the time, these things aren't declassified until significantly after they've been developed, and not until they're about ready to break them to the public.
Dr. Ward, before you go too much further, I'd like to kind of introduce Dr. Carlstrom, too, and I'll let him give his bio just a little bit so that the people listening can understand what his background is, and then I'll let you go ahead and continue, okay?
Yeah, this is Eric Carlstrom, and I teach physical geography, which is basically climatology, geomorphology, and soils, as well as environmental geography. But after 911, I've kind of shifted my area of interest and research into these kinds of topics of what happened on September 11th, as well as the geopolitical background, which might explain why it happened. And so I have written a couple lengthy papers on 911, and I've done a lot of research and gone to some of the 911 conferences which have been held around the country. So I'm familiar with a lot of these issues, so I'm just interested to hear what Dr. Ward has to say and maybe have somewhat of a discussion about some of the fine points.
Yeah. Well, if you feel like I'm giving unscientific facts anywhere, be sure and jump in there, because I don't have any trouble explaining them most of the time.
Fine.
Or confused or whatever, jump on in.
Okay, great. So I believe that we were talking about how the towers came down and your mini nuke hypothesis. So you would propose then that it would be some combination of explosives to account for all the eyewitness testimony, as well as mini nukes. Would there be anything else, such as you perhaps heard the theory of the directed energy weapons of Dr. Jim?
Well, if you look at a one, you're talking about something that's not proven to be able to take down a building. And first off, they're not going to use something that's not proven. Second, the destruction, the debris, and the way things fell, and just are not consistent with a Jew weapon, a laser type, linear type weapon. You can't leave a 250 foot crater under intact debris by any linear weapon. Also, they had the top part of the towers broke off as they were coming down, 20 stories. Now, you've got to have a lateral laser-type weapon in order to cut something off laterally. Plus, you've got, once you start getting all that dust in the air, it's got to cut through the dust. I mean, there's just tremendous problems with Jew weapons other than thermonukes, although some people put in the thermos in the direct energy weapons.
Okay, and the fact that the towers came down virtually at the speed of gravity, 110-story buildings coming down in 9 and 11 seconds, roughly.
Yeah, a little bit slower than a direct free fall, but almost insignificant.
And that they left a seismic imprint perhaps of about 2.1 and 2.3 rather than, as Dr. Judy Wood said, more like 3.8, which is what they should have left based on the weight of each building, about half a million
tons.
Well,
if they used thermonukes, these were probably not coupled to the ground. These would have been more or less in the upper floors of the lower level, or the middle floors of the basement levels. So these wouldn't have been directly tied to ground. And if you do any research on explosives, if they're not directly in the ground, they're going to have a reduced seismic reaction.
Okay. The fact that there was not a 14-story rubble pile, I guess, would this be consistent, which
you know,
is what you should have?
You'd be talking about a 30 to 40 story, not a 13. A 30 to 40 story if you use the demolitions ratio, which is about one-third. You take out the air of the floor, the space between the floor and the ceilings, and basically you're talking about a third of the height for a demolished building. And we had about a few spires coming up at 50 to 60 feet. Everything else is way, way down in the 2- and 3- and 4-story range. Now, that's one-tenth of the expected debris. The total weight of the buildings was about 3 billion pounds. 2 billion pounds of dust was picked up in Manhattan. Only 1 billion pounds of debris was picked up at the World Trade Center. So that's a tremendous amount of energy just to be able to particleize, to nanoparticleize concrete, steel, glass. You're talking about tremendous energy for that.
You were getting into the history of the nuclear use of the nuclear weapon, and finish that out.
Oh, okay. I have one more on this, and this is a 1976. This is the fact that they have an interest in minimum residual radiation devices. So again, usually they don't put these out until they're fairly close to developing or have developed them, and they were trying to break them out to public knowledge. So we've got government documents that say, one, they've had demolition nukes since 1958.
Is there any place that they're known to have been used prior to this?
Well, I have a picture of the 1960 version, which was a small nuke that was shot out of a modified bazooka. They were deployed during World War II, I believe. Let's see, I'll run down here and see if I can get the name of it. I don't see it offhand. Anyway, it was a 0.1 to a 0.10 micronuke kilotons. And a kiloton is 2,000 pounds of TNT. 1,000 pounds of TNT.
And so the reason that they may have been using these micronukes in the towers would have been...
Well, in the previous explosion in the 90s, where they had supposedly a truck bomb go off, now this is another area that I go into in the U.S. government's usage of atomic bombs domestic, is that all of these truck bombs that create craters are more than likely nuclear devices. The Louisiana Special Services blew up 2 truck bombs of 1,000 pounds each in pickup trucks, and neither of the and this was on dirt. Neither of the truck bombs made any type of crater in the earth. There was a weapon used in Vietnam. The Blue 81, I believe, is what they call it. This was a 6.3 tons of high-grade military explosives. 6.3 tons of high-grade military explosives that clears an area of about 3 football fields of trees and everything and does not make a crater. So any kind of truck bomb that you have, it's going to have to be more than 6.3 tons of explosive in order to make a crater. Anything that's making a crater in a truck bomb is just vastly superior to any type of conventional explosive.
So you're saying that they needed a crater to be able
well,
to...
Well, there was a crater in the Oklahoma bombings in the concrete and a good bit of damage. There were several reports that there was also tritium found in that explosive area also.
Has there been any kind of radioactive readings done for...
Oh, you mean like the EPA telling that the air's safe and there was no radiation? Yeah, I can't put much in the way of scientific reports from the government after I know how they handled Agent Orange. You know, they told us our soldiers were safe to walk in it, breathe it, sleep around it. And then 20 years later, they banned it from the face of the earth. 20 years after proving it was perfectly safe for our soldiers, they banned it from existence on the face of the earth. So that tells you how much this government is concerned about DU, its soldiers. It's just pitiful.
Now, you mentioned DU, Ed, and could you just define that and explain how that fits in here?
Yeah, depleted uranium. That's one of my earlier articles, Deja Du, the Agent Orange of Eternity. It has a 4.5 billion year half-life. It's a radioactive isotope. All radiation, all heavy metals are dangerous to individuals and harmful to individuals. It doesn't, you know, there's no safe amount of radiation.
And this has been used by the U.S. government to harden artillery shells in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Artillery shells, but there's also some significant evidence that it's used in pretty much all of the bunker buster series, because there's nothing else that gives the penetration of DU, depleted uranium. When it strikes a target, concrete, metal, the friction causes some heat, and then the depleted uranium ignites and vaporizes and burns its way through the steel or concrete, and that sends out a uranium plume that kills everybody in a tank, but it also lays around for 4.5 billion years before half of it is gone. That's the good news. The bad news is that the substances it turns into through radioactive decay are more dangerous than the uranium. We've got tons of soldiers, hundreds of thousands that have been exposed to depleted uranium. We've got the China syndrome type cancers. Dr. Doug Rock has done some good, excellent research on depleted uranium. He had a crew of, I think, like 70 guys, and half of them were dead for cancer after 18 years, I believe.
And he's got it himself.
Just like every soul in that World Trade Center debris pile has got a ton of problems. Just the small particles are just devastating to lungs because they're not filtered out. Anything smaller than like a micron, and the World Trade Center fumes and debris has never been seen before in the history of the world, according to Dr. Cahill, who did studies on the fire and stated that there was anaerobic combustion. That was one of my significant findings, I thought, in describing the fumes coming from the World Trade Center pile. He said they were consistent with anaerobic incineration. Well, you can't have a fire in an anaerobic situation. In order for something to combust, you have to have at least 16% oxygen. So 15% oxygen won't do it. And Dr. Cahill has described not only 15% combustion, but 0% combustion in oxygen. He also described high chlorine levels. Chlorine is a halogen fuel retardant. That's what they use on the halog fire extinguishers, chlorine. So we've got, one, we've got no oxygen for a burning fire. Two, we've got chlorine, which is a fire inhibitor. And three, we've got 2 billion pounds of debris spread around Manhattan, 1 billion pounds around the World Trade Center, of a compound that is 30 to 40% silicon and calcium, which aren't going to burn. That's like ingredients for sand, which is a cheap fire extinguisher.
So what?
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say. So, with all of this evidence and what you're describing here, what made you hone in on micro-nukes?
Well, I mean, it isn't like it's the most popular theory.
There's a lot. Oh, the 9/11 groups won't even mention my name. And they mention the theory, they just say kook, and they will not get into the information because no one has been able to dispute the information presented. There, just in my first article, there are over 100 references, documents. This is not my opinion. This is evidence from the government, scientific testimony, documentation of all of the information that's coming out regarding my theories. There are probably around 300 references in my series of articles just on the World Trade Center 9/11. I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface. We haven't, I've only barely talked about the massive craters. There were three huge craters in the World Trade Center nobody talked about. I found the LIDAR pictures with legends. There were several pictures of the LIDAR images that came from the World Trade Center. These are laser image direction, something like that. They can measure from an airplane flying over to within 18 inches the height of any object on Earth. So they did flybys over the World Trade Center. And there's three craters. One is 250 foot wide and 35 deep. That's around World Trade Center 1. There's another one of the same size, 35 feet deep and 250 feet wide. Now, not only do we not have 33 stories of building, we've got a hole. The building left a hole when it fell down. Now, that just doesn't happen. You know, if something falls down, it stacks up on itself. But didn't happen in this case.
Well, did not.
Now, in World Trade Center 6, where there's a pyroclastic flow as one of the World Trade Centers comes down, there's a 45-foot deep hole, maybe even to 55, 60 feet in some areas, that is 120 feet wide.
So
we've got three massive craters. We've got 5 acres of land, at least 5 acres of land. That's over 1,500 degrees in a matter of hours from a fire that cannot possibly burn.
Well, didn't William Rodriguez, who was a maintenance man at the towers, testify that there were explosions prior to the planes hitting?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's Rodriguez. Since we've had several firefighters that have died from their conditions from the World Trade Center, they've come out with information because all of the firemen and policemen pretty much know if they speak out, their jobs are gone. Now, that's a direct quote from Lou Caccioli and Rodriguez is the same. He's had eyewitness testimony, but we've got testimony of EMTs that were in there that were lifted off their feet 2 and 3 times and thrown downstairs. And one woman told, you know, after she was thrown downstairs a couple of times, then they were blown completely out of the building. Now, there's over 250 just in the firefighters' testimony. Of these are heroes, some of them who have had military experience, they know exactly what an explosion is. Some of them were in the earlier World Trade Center bombing and talked about the same sounds, the same effects, and said, oh, they're doing it again. So there's more than Rodriguez. There are close to 500 documented testimonials, but testimonials are the weakest part of any theory. My efforts go way beyond testimonials.
Okay, go ahead further with what you're talking about as far as your evidence.
Okay, we had tons of cancers are coming out in all of the responders, and it's if it was one type of cancer, then you could say, well, there's something in specific is doing this. But we're talking across the board spectrum from testicular cancer, brain cancer, breast cancer, soft tissue cancers, leukemias. We're talking about a vast, as wide as the spectrum of cancers is. That's the type of cancers that are coming out of the World Trade Center.
Is diabetes related to it?
Diabetes shouldn't be, but now this wouldn't have anything to do with nuclear. Just a small particle inhalation is going to destroy lungs, and when you lose your breath, you tend to become inactive, and when you become inactive, you tend to gain weight, and when you gain weight, you tend to get diabetes. So that would be the only way I would say that it would be possible, unless you were talking about some of the islets in the pancreas, which are diabetes islets, and lower the glucose or raise the glucose depending on what needs to be done, are sensitive to radiation. I couldn't say for sure that would be a cause, but it's possible, as well as just gaining weight, and fat cells tend to soak up insulin, and then the sugar goes up. I couldn't say for sure, but I would say there's a good chance.
Ed, has there been enough radioactivity found in the debris pile or the dust to support the hypothesis of mini nukes, or would they be using some kind of mini nukes that would really minimize the amount of radioactive debris?
Well, tritium, which is found in a Department of Energy report, which they classify as traces of tritium, and below human concern. Well, tritium is only made from nuclear-type reactions. One type of nuclear reaction are the rays that we get from the sun, which create tritium here on Earth at a very, very small value, which is, I think, 20 tritium units. Used to be 10, but then we had nuclear testing, things like that. We got nuclear plants releasing stressful amounts of radiation that have to be released. The mining for DU, the DU rounds. Cancer is soon to become the number one killer of people in the next couple of decades, surpassing even heart disease. We found tritium levels documented by the Department of Energy, but they just passed them off as traces. Well, traces happen to be 55 times the normal background level. That's what they're calling traces. Now, not only are they 55 times, they're 55 times the amount that should be there after they were diluted by 12 million liters of water. So there was a tremendous amount of tritium there. And that's the only type of reading that they've released any results about. But as far as they've proven they don't care about people. The EPA said the air is safe to breathe, and knew very well the air wasn't safe to breathe. So now this is just hearsay. I was told that Geiger counters were not allowed in the World Trade Center for the first 72 hours. And with fusion-type reactions, that's where you'll be down to about a tenth of the amount of radiation that was present after 72 hours. These are very short half-lives of radiation.
So you're saying it's fusion, not fission?
It's just the fission bombs are just so dirty. Now there'll be some people that will tell you that there's no proven fusion bomb, but they definitely have Tacoma up and running, which is a fusion process on the order of a mini sun. This is documented fusion not only in a bomb, but controlled in a reactor. So the evidence is there for fusion weapons. Also lots of research into lasers of lasering starting fusion reactions. The evidence is there for a fusion type system, though that we don't have any type of document.
Would it be correct to say that your kind of general understanding, your scenario for how this might have been accomplished, then would include both some kind of military-grade explosive like thermate or thermite, in addition, the mini-nuke?
TCN and 9/11 WIJ is the name of my series of articles, which is thermite, C4-like explosives, and nukes. And 9/11 was an inside job.
And okay, so obviously with these kinds of very, very high-tech forms of weapons, we can pretty much discount the government's official story that this was carried out by Osama bin Laden from a laptop in a cave.
The 19 guys,
and
the 19 hijackers,
alleged hijackers.
Seven of them are still alive.
Right, right.
Yeah, there's no way this was done by them. There's no way they could have had explosions go off in the building by riding on an airplane. Do you know there were 10 war games going on at the exact same time the World Trade Center was being attacked? There were two of them that sent most of our fighters off to Alaska in some type of little game where Russia was supposedly attacking. That sent almost, I think it's like 60 or 70% of the fighters from the East Coast over to Alaska. There was a war game of planes flying into the World Trade Center at the exact same time planes were flying into the World Trade Center. In the last 15 or 20 years, NORAD has never allowed a single plane to fly out. After 2 or 3 minutes, there's a call. If there's a plane off course, 2 or 3 minutes, NORAD has a call, and there's a jet up in the air flying around to bring that plane back home. Yet on World Trade Center Day, planes were flying around for hours, and couldn't be found by NORAD. There are things going. There were things that just couldn't be controlled by anybody else but this government.
Yeah, are you familiar, Ed, with the no big planes hypothesis of Morgan Reynolds and others, and the faked video hypothesis?
I've seen some of that. I don't believe these were the commercial planes that flew into the building. I believe these were government planes that were flown in. Because the pod information, it pretty much shows that this couldn't have been a commercial airliner. Also, there were some it was a single explosive prior to every plane. The World Trade Center planes hitting the towers. I would suspect also from the type of damage that was done to the Pentagon, there was also a missile shot out of that plane. And again, these wouldn't be on commercial airliners.
Right. So your hypothesis then would be some kind of military aircraft were actually substituted, and then that the so-called hijacked United Airlines and American Airlines planes went somewhere else. Have you got any idea what happened to those planes and those people?
I like to deal in facts and documented stuff.
Right.
And so I had the debris, I had reports, so I tried to concentrate on that kind of stuff. Plane stuff, while I didn't write about it that much in the article, just to maybe a few sentences here or there. Who's to know what happened to the other planes?
Right.
Two of them are supposedly still in operation, according to the flight numbers on them. Exactly what happened to them, can't tell you.
There's a lot of loose ends here. Okay, so your research, which you've done independently and with all the data that you can find, leading to the conclusion of an inside job. A lot of people have a hard time believing that the government would actually kill its own people.
Well, I would suggest that they take a look at Operation Northwoods. This was presidential cabinet directive where they were going to shoot Floridians, maybe a couple of Cubans here, blow up a plane here, a Cuban boat here, have a little uprising in Cuba. This is all CIA stuff coming straight out from the Joint Chiefs of Staff going into Kennedy, and Kennedy put the nicks on it and said there won't be any of that. Of course, he also put the nicks on the Federal Reserve, and then within a few months he was shot in the head.
Right.
This government has proven it will kill people. I mean, that's what the CIA is over top of governments in all of the foreign nations almost. They don't mind killing anybody doing it. Operation Northwoods is declassified, proven government information. And none of these people thought this up and we're going to do it and we're going to actually make a premise for us to be at war with Cuba by killing Americans and a few Cubans. Yeah, a few sniper shots here and there, and a few blown up things. Now, this is proven. There's also proven that the United States knew about Pearl Harbor hours before they blew it up. They didn't tell them because it wouldn't have had the same effect. The USS Liberty, a U.S. government ship attacked by Israel. There's no end of documentation that shows this government will kill its own people. Agent Orange, this government will kill its own soldiers and then deny it so they don't have to pay for it, so they don't have to pay for accountability. This is all proven facts.
Well, I certainly agree with you, having done the same kind of research as you. Could you give us your opinion as to what the motivation would be for the government to do this kind of black operation, or they're sometimes called wet operations where people are killed?
There's a huge, huge spectrum, I'm sure, but, I mean, greed's up at the top of the list. We're in Iraq because of oil. We've got corporations that have powers beyond the ordinary citizen, and yet a corporation should have no personage. This government has just gone mad with power. Now, exactly whether it's greed, whether it's power, whether it's Illuminati, cults that have been with us for centuries, exactly which one is doing it. You know, and then there's also the fact that eventually we're going to have too many people. We're already in global warming, another hidden area, which I get to thank for my watching my house go underwater, because if they had in the 1980s, they were starting to get an idea about global warming and what it was going to do. I mean, New Orleans, Miami, Tokyo, New York, these are all cities that are going to be gone in 20 years. Trillions, trillions, and trillions of dollars of real estate is going to be worthless. And then what? If we're still on oil, we're still CO2 and everything, we're looking at 280 feet of water when all of the ice melts. So we're talking about a doomsday situation and uncontrolled grasp for power and greed. A lot of things, we're eventually going to have so many people that we can't support them, to feed them. We're already having those problems. So, I mean, there are some people that feel that we're going to be dead anyway, may have to make some money on it and enjoy ourselves at least. I can't tell you which exact person is doing what for what. All I can tell you is the proof's out there that they are doing it, and we know who they are, at least some of them.
Well, you mentioned something about JFK and the Federal Reserve. What were you in, making that in reference? How that he was related to
Well,
that?
The Federal Reserve was done in 1913. This is our first huge leap from the Constitution. This is where the government gave the right to print money out of air, just with nothing behind it, to a private institution. The Federal Reserve is nothing federal about it, except it controls the, you know, how much money the Fed has. But it's private. It's most of these Bilderberg groups that you see meeting, the G8 groups, these are all people that have been pulling the money strings since at least 1913. The Federal Reserve is unconstitutional, just like the IRS, and everybody in government has to know it. But yet, what's been done about it since 1913, it's been swept under the rug by both parties. And we have one candidate today, one out of all the presidential candidates talking about the Constitution, how crazy the Federal Reserve is. You know, when we get our system, when you're born, you become chattel to the bankers for the debt, for this money that they're printing up.
I've heard that.
Yes.
Yeah, you get assigned, this is what you're going to have to pay.
Yeah. Yeah, we all have a debt.
And where are they getting the money? We're just printing it up.
Yeah, it's a debt-based system.
If it had some value to it for something, it'd be okay. But you know, it's entirely unconstitutional, just like the Patriot Act. I mean, we have to be at war in order for the war powers to be used. We're not at war. We're not at war with any country. Nobody's declared war. We're after some criminals, supposedly. Yes, but in order to get to some criminals, they have destroyed our constitutional rights, but that's been going on at least since 1913 when we were made slaves and chattel to pay some bill to some banker.
So 9/11, are you attributing to being an event that set forward an agenda?
Oh, absolutely. They were talking about the need for another Pearl Harbor. They've even mentioned it again recently, saying how we need some more attacks so that the American people will know how much we're needed. Can you imagine that a government official is saying we need more attacks?
I believe these were found in memos between Republican Party operatives that it may be necessary for another attack.
Oh, yeah, Wolfowitz, and 15 years ago, they were talking about the need for a new Pearl Harbor. I mean, 45 years ago, they were talking about the need for Operation Northwoods so we could go to war with Cuba.
Well, wasn't that in an article, paper called The Project for the New American Century?
I believe so. Yeah, but and even made it on ABC for about a minute and a half. But, I mean, when you say Operation Northwoods to most of the public, they don't have a clue what you're talking about. How is it that an attempt to directly undermine the Constitution, to fake us into a war, the same as they did with Iraq by just torturing people until they told them anything. You know, that's treason.
Well, I think it's very fascinating that you're talking to us now from a FEMA camp in New Orleans, and that your house was in the was flooded, and I certainly want to get to that story because I'm sure you have a lot of information, but I have a couple more questions on 911 first.
Sure.
There are lots of people that I talk to about 911, and of course, many people, you just throw up the defenses and the walls, and they assume that, you know, you're a kook if you talk about this kind of quote-unquote conspiracy theory. And one very intelligent person I was talking to recently said, well, you'll never be able to prove it. And you're a scientist, and you've amassed an enormous amount of data. Do you think we're at the point now where it's possible, if we were in a fair trial situation, and there was a meaningful investigation into this, that we could prove not only that the official story is wrong, but we could prove pretty much what happened?
should be able to prove that nukes were used. We're trying to do that right now, Dr. Bill Daigle and I. He's pretty much assumed the sample that I sent to him. It's a type of isotopic ratio, because as you know, with neutron activation, you'll find some isotopes that are stable, and they may not be, they are not radioactive. They last for thousands of years, if not indefinitely. So there are changes that go on inside common elements that are not radioactive, that don't degrade and go away, that can be tested. Now, I know I've had a lot of problems when I was trying to get the sample tested for these specific tests. Dr. Daigle tells me that any requests for these tests in Canada or America have to get cleared by the Department of Defense. We're trying to do them at an international level, and it's been difficult, much in the same way that the activists for depleted uranium usage found difficulty in getting accurate results for depleted uranium, because, as again with Agent Orange, the government will not tell the truth on itself regarding what it's done to its own people,
soldiers. Right, and this is well documented in many, many books and many, many videos for those who would care to educate themselves. You won't find it on the mainstream television channels, but you will find it in lots of websites and books. And I would like to also ask you, Ed, about your relationship to the 911 movement and your opinion of the 911 movement and where you think we are as a country right now.
Where we are in a country is very precarious. So we've got lots of problems coming to us. We've got water rising. You're just not going to stop the ocean from rising. We've got a dollar that has no manufacturing base. We're a complete service industry. About 40% of the GDP is service industry. There's another 20 or 30% that is legal oriented. We have virtually no manufacturing in this country. There is going to be huge problems for the dollar coming. And they want to, you know, the Amero is going to supposedly be their salvation, so they can make a Canadian, U.S. and Mexican dollar similar to the euro.
So what you're saying is that's tying into somewhat the North American Union?
Well, that's part of it, but there's also detention centers supposedly for immigrants to be rounded up in case they become rowdy, you know, similar to what they did to the Japanese because they were Japanese during World War II. And that's the premise. Rex 84 is the name of the camps, but or at least the older name. They've got a lot newer names for them now. We could go to martial law merely because the president says we need to be in martial law.
Well, there are those.
Lord forbid if there's a nuke to go off in another city, like they're starting to break into the public opinion that, Iran, who doesn't have a nuke according to them, and they must stop them from getting a nuke, has nukes and are going to explode them here in the United States in a city.
There are those that say that Katrina was an exercise in martial law.
Absolutely. I can tell you, I was one of the forced evacuees, and it was definitely a forced evacuation. I know two stories that both of the big levees that broke, the 17th Street Canal and the one in the 9th Ward, broke at exactly the same time. There was a Corps of Engineers barge going through them. Both big levee breaks had Corps of Engineer barges in them. FEMA came in and cut phone lines from parish phone lines. There was no interest in helping the people here. The interest was in getting them out and seeing how many people they could move out of here, either with their will or against their will.
Primarily for an economic incentive for the developers, I suppose, to get the poor folks out and get the real estate values to go up. Is that your contention?
No, my contention is that it was a drill to actually move people out when they need to.
Uh-huh. So you're thinking these Corps of Engineer barges then may have set the explosives that actually caused the...
It wasn't needed explosives. The wind at the time the barges went through was significantly less than the hurricane. It was down to about 80, 90 miles an hour. But that's when you take a fully loaded barge. One of them was a construction barge they were using for another bridge close to the 17th Street Canal. That barge has a crane on it and all kinds of weight. And when you start throwing barges around with 80 mile an hour winds, you don't need explosives.
So the barge would have actually punched the hole in the levee. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Oh, well, according to my next-door neighbor, who also had a house in Lakeview and had to chop her way through the ceiling and through the roof of her house, and a few hours later was taken out by some private citizens on boat, told me she saw the construction barge they were using on the bridge adjacent to the 17th Street Canal in the hole. But now if you look, and there are still a couple of pictures that can be found on the net with the barge in the hole, but if you look at everything presented on CBS, ABC, and Fox, there ain't a barge to be seen anywhere.
They've heavily edited the video images, as they certainly did in 911 after that day. So your belief then is that these barges were used deliberately to break the levees?
It's a possibility. I don't know if I believe it or not. I definitely know they knew, one, the levees were 18 inches too short. The core of it, that's why there's a lawsuit with 350,000 New Orleanians as plaintiffs suing the Corps of Engineers, because they knew... For a Category 3, the levees had to be 18 inches higher. They knew before this storm came in from the Louisiana hurricane preparedness, whatever, for the state, that this was going to destroy New Orleans prior to it coming in. They were told about it. They ignored it.
And the role of FEMA in all this, could you explain that, since you're in a FEMA camp right now?
Well, I'm not. I'm on my own property in front of my house, so I can watch my place, and I'm not really in a FEMA camp, but I am in a FEMA trailer.
Okay.
It's not quite as exciting as a FEMA camp. But FEMA is... FEMA... just happened to be at the World Trade Center for a convention on 9/11. FEMA is the new, I just call them the SS, but they're a control arm of this government that is reaching into every aspect of every private citizen. This is... I'm a terrorist. I've been described as a terrorist because I don't believe the official government story. You know, we can go to martial law and I can be picked up, you can be picked up, anybody can be picked up without your papers. If you're blocked from your house and you don't have your some identification, you're going to be picked up.
Well, let's go back to your comment about Iran, because you mentioned that several Republican documents mentioned the necessity of say, another terrorist attack in this country.
It was a book, not a document. But, it was Wolfowitz and Pearl, I believe.
Actually, there are some. There are some. From what I understand on the internet, there are some memos being circulated that have been kind of intercepted more recently, much more recently. And of course, people like Webster Tarpley talk about the Cheney Doctrine, which has been promoted ever since 9/11, which is that there will be another terrorist attack on this country, and we're now, of course, being prepared for war with Iran. Do you foresee a scenario in which? You know, there might be a suitcase nuke or something blown up in a city.
That's a lot of scuttlebutt about that. That's coming from not only Daigle is pretty much a whistleblower. He was at the in charge of one of the aspects of the Oklahoma bombing, and he gets lots of information from CIA buddy types. And he's been told on several occasions, but again, they're coming out in the paper and saying it. We're expecting a nuclear blast. Well, I want to know where this nuclear blast is coming from. Iran don't have one. Iraq doesn't have one. They'd have sure used one somewhere. Who's got them? But supposedly these terrorists are going to have one, bring it into the United States, and blow up a city? The same way two airliners whose buildings were made to withstand the impact of planes at least that big and loaded with more fuel, take down two buildings, two steel buildings, and completely remove 30 stories of debris and vaporize it.
I need to go ahead and take a break here for a moment, and because this is KHENLP 106.9 Salida. And, again, the opinions expressed by the host and guests on this show do not necessarily represent the views of KHAN, its staff, or board of directors. And I did want to do a couple of quick public service announcements, too, that KHAN extends a warm thank you to all the underwriters supporting our local and syndicated programming. KHAN would not be able to offer such great community programming without their underwriting support. Listeners, please be sure to thank your underwriters as you visit their businesses and let them know you heard it on KHAN 106.9 FM. And on Saturday, the September 15th, the Walden Chamber Music Society will hold a benefit at 6 p.m. at the home of Joe and Harvey Boatwright in Buena Vista. And this event includes a picnic supper, sangria door prizes, and live and silent auctions. Artistic entertainment is a multimedia performance by Joe Boatwright, narrated by Camilla Bonzo, based on a witty set of piano pieces by Eric Satie. And the benefit is the major fundraising event for the Walden Chamber Music Society this year. Seating is limited, so please call Mo Butler to confirm availability. 395-4818 or email at mojo@chafee.net. And, again, we're doing an interview with Dr. Ed Ward and co-hosted with Eric Carlstrom, and this is Truth Quest with Melody. So we'll go back to the interview here.
Well, you know, Ed, picking up where you left off, Webster Tarpley, who's authored one of the good books on 9/11, I think, called Synthetic Terrorism Made in the USA, would conclude, I think, as you and I and many others, that 9/11 was an example of false flag, synthetic, state-sponsored terrorism. And it was an inside job. Then it was blamed on a political enemy, in this case the Muslims, to justify these wars, these imperial wars for control of oil in the Middle East. Now, to me, the really important question is, in regard to this, you know, potential future false flag, synthetic, state-sponsored terrorist event in this country, which would be blamed on Iran, is in the last 6 years, have we done a good enough job of educating the American people that this was an inside job, so that if another such identical scenario were to be played out, would the American people be stampeded by fear into attacking Iran, which is, of course, what the administration would do it for? Or would they be smart enough to see through it and realize that Iran didn't do it, and that maybe our own government did?
I think your guess is about as good as mine. All I know is we've got close to 50%, if not more, that either believe that the government did it or they didn't stop it. And we're still pressing forward with Iran. We're still pressing forward with this introduction to nuclear explosions in a U.S. city. They're still making plans to nuke Iran and to nuke a U.S. city. So they're not scared enough yet, but at least, hopefully, we can get rid of the rest of them like they got rid of Gonzales, except the only other I word I would add to impeach is we need to indict also. We need to have accountability for what these people have done, because until we get it, they're going to keep doing it.
Can you give us the names of the individuals that you think are definitely involved in this? Or would that be too much of a terroristic activity?
Oh, I have said them before, so yeah, I wouldn't doubt that it's too much of a terroristic activity. But yeah, there's no doubt that Bush and Cheney did it. There's significant evidence that Israel was involved, probably in the supplying of the nuke. They had the dancing Israelis over here. This was a vacation for them to come see them watch them blow up the World Trade Center so that they can make war on Muslims.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
I mean, this was known to way more people than supposedly our CIA and FBI and everybody else who didn't know anything about it, who said, how could we figure this was going to happen? Meanwhile, we're having an exercise, a war game, where we're flying planes into the World Trade Center. I mean, that's when the planes were reported first to NORAD. That was one of the first responses. Is this live or is this demo?
Right.
They didn't know whether they were still in the war game or not, because it was the exact same. What is the odds on that?
I think it's statistically almost impossible. Likewise, the London bombings. There was a drill for the exact same scenario on the day of the London bombings, and somebody did calculate the odds on that, and I think it was one in, and then there was a number with 36 zeros or something like that.
Oh yeah, it's tremendous. I mean, it's just beyond even
more stars than we have in the universe. You know, that kind of thing.
It's up there, yeah. And we have proof that they've done it in the past. And they've done it in the past and covered it up. They've done it in the past, and they've held no one accountable.
Would you care to comment on the important role of the press in all this? Because obviously, if we had a watchdog press that was doing its job,
we don't have a press. We have five corporations that control 90% of the information, and they're tied in with the government. The CIA pays for stories to be printed in other countries and here in the U.S. We have a corporation that one hand washes the other. The government and the corporations wash each other's hands. The press is now just puts out exactly what is coming from the government. There's no restraint on it. That's the official story, whatever the government wants to tell us.
Going back to the bombing a little bit, was there a crater under building number 7?
No.
And
there was a small debris pile. There was only one building that left the appropriate debris pile, and that was for only half the building. I believe that was World Trade Center 4, but I couldn't swear to it. That's just off memory. But there was only one building that left an appropriate debris pile.
And did you see Did you see the film of the British commentators speaking of how the
built 7 coming down before it came down?
Yes.
Well, I find that there were several people were warned prior to the buildings coming down at World Trade Center. I mean, there's even a film of a fireman saying, "Get back, the building's fixing to come down." Giuliani was supposedly told 15 minutes or 20 minutes before it was going to come down that it was coming down. The World Trade Centers, the people that were around the base were told, "Get out of here, the building's coming down," prior to the buildings coming down.
Isn't it fascinating now that when we look at the Republican contenders for president behind the podiums on stage, we see Ron Paul and Rudy Giuliani. Would you contrast these two potential future presidents for us, please?
Well, there's absolutely no comparison between any other Republican candidate. There's no comparison between any other Democratic candidate for presidency. Most of these people, if you look at Jimmy Carter, you look at Bill Clinton, all of these people went to Bilderberg before they became famous. Then all of a sudden they became famous, they became president.
And Bilderberg being?
Bilderberg is was started from the creature from Jekyll Island. This is, we're talking back around 1913 again. This is where they came out with the printing up money from a private institution. There's a group of bankers of many, many different persuasions, but still these are powerful people. They've been powerful people for years. They pretty much pull every, when you control the money, you pretty much get to pull all the strings.
I think the reason that I asked that question contrasting Mayor Giuliani with Ron Paul is that I think there's a pretty good reason to believe that Mayor Giuliani was in the know regarding the events of 9/11 and therefore should probably be indicted. And,
absolutely.
He's a 9/11 treason conspirator, whereas Ron Paul is actually trying to protect the U.S. Constitution. I see
enormous
difference.
Well, there's no other person that's trying to protect the Constitution. He is the only one out of all of the parties that is pressing for Constitution. The rest are just, we'll protect you from terrorism, or we're for families, we want to make America strong. Nobody's talking about rights, about a government that's gone tremendously beyond the bounds of the Constitution with power. This government has just gotten huge and extremely powerful. And 95% of our representatives are part of it. You know, we're supposed to have a big change with the Democrats. Well, the Democrats have been around since 1913. They know what the Federal Reserve is. They know the IRS is an unconstitutional law. It's all been covered up and carried by both parties, one coin, two different sides, and it's all about greed and power. And we've got one person that's out of what, 20 candidates that's even talking about the Constitution.
I've actually read reports that Ron Paul supports the government myth of 9/11, the story that the government has put out. What's your opinion about that?
I have not really investigated it that much. I've heard the same things you have. I don't think he has ever stated he believes the official story, but he definitely has not stated that he believes other than the official story. But, I mean, Ron Paul is so cutting edge on the Federal Reserve, the return of the Constitution, civil liberties, civil rights. This is kind of not a good reason, I think, to be out with all of his other constitutional ideas. So I can see why he would prefer to stay away from it. I doubt very seriously that he would not be pushing for at least an investigation to verify facts. But whether or not he actually believes in 9/11 conspiracies or whether he believes the government stories, I don't think I've seen a quote that for sure puts him one way or the other.
Well, I saw a quote with Alex Jones's website where Ron Paul said 9/11 was not an inside job. But I think you're right that there are so many reasons to be very attracted to his candidacy. He did not vote for the Patriot Act. He's one of the only congressmen.
Didn't vote for the war.
Didn't vote for the war in Iraq. So and
has
again,
never voted for a tax increase. Never. In ten terms, never voted for a tax increase.
Yeah.
But I'll try and check that quote on Alex Jones because I
personally have not seen it.
Could you give us a little critique of your perspective of the 911 movement in this country and where we're at with that?
We're in the 9/11 movement. I see basically no difference than any other type of information dispersal. I've got people in 9/11 that will not mention my name, that will not go into the facts, even though they're, you got 50 proven 55 times levels of tritium, you've got molten steel, you've got 2 billion pounds of dust, you've got 5 acres of land, you've got 3 huge craters, you've got vaporized people. There were 1,000 people. They didn't even find a single strand of DNA.
Well, just in itself, the go into the steel part, molten steel, how can that happen in a collapsed building? And the temperatures
Supposedly it was the fires that burned underground that produced a blast furnace type effect. But Cahill pretty much shoots that, it just can't happen because you got no oxygen, you got chlorine, and you got stuff covered in the debris that doesn't burn. And if you can't get oxygen, CO2 is going to build up, or at least carbon monoxide is going to build up, and that's also a fire retardant. There is no way there was a fire under that debris. What you had was material brought to thousands of degrees in a split second. And whenever they would take up a piece of concrete or a piece of steel that would expose an area underneath to air, it would shoot up in a flame.
And that would be the result of the mini nuke that would produce those extreme temperatures.
Of huge temperatures. Now, see, conventional explosives, you could put enough in there to destroy the World Trade Centers, but you'd be talking about a pretty big series of explosions, and it will not produce the amount of heat required to melt steel to keep areas at 5 acres or acres of land at 1,500 degrees for 6 weeks after 4 million gallons of water was put on it.
There are those that say just the color of the smoke was indicating that the fires were starting to die down.
Before the collapse.
Yes, before the collapse.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a fireman up at the first World Trade Center to come down that said, "We got 2 fires in here. Bring up some hoses. We ought to be able to take care of them pretty quick."
Yes, I've heard that one myself. They have the recording of it.
Yeah, and when you look at the smoke, it's dark, dark black. This is not a highly oxidized fire.
Which this refutes the official NIST story that the buildings came down because of the melting and the weakening of the steel, and then there.
Yeah, well, they personally said melting came from those fires, but then that was a little ridiculous. So they said, well, it weakened it, and then when it fell down, these big blast furnaces started place, and that's what melted it. And it wasn't really steel; it was some type of mixture of stuff. And it's just a whole list of stories for multiple testimonials of flowing rivers, ponds, lifting up steel beams weeks afterwards that are red hot on their ends. That's the weakest link of testimonial, but we do have pictures of red hot steel beams coming up. Apparently, no pictures made it out of the molten steel. That's part of the classified information, like the EPA documents and the structures of the World Trade Center and whatever else might they decide to make classified to protect themselves from being indicted.
Yeah, we have, you used the word pyroclastic flow before, and if we look at the images of the buildings actually exploding, we see that they didn't collapse, that they exploded, you have almost a mushroom cloud effect in the upper parts of the building.
There was a 600,000 pound beam that was thrown 395 feet. from the building. That was just one of them.
Yeah, and then there were many, and of course a lot of the steel was like the concrete, vaporized.
Right.
As well as the windows and the bodies and the furniture, et cetera. So the conventional kind of even high-powered military explosive C4 thermate would not be able to vaporize this amount of material. Isn't that correct?
You'd leave a lot of little chunks all over.
Yeah, you'd have chunks of concrete, yeah.
But not even a strand of DNA was found on 1,000 people.
You're not going to get vaporization when in a collapse anyways.
No. But supposedly, you know, this collapse, which makes all this fine dust, but yet still has the potential to destroy a concrete slab underneath it, and it keeps doing it. It keeps turning into dust, and it keeps destroying stuff below it. And then there's the spires, the cores that we talked about, that were 16 inches thick. That after the Second World Trade Center came down, they withstood the 1 million pounds of debris falling on them and stood for 25 seconds after the building fell, and then all of a sudden they just start to fold in upon themselves and they turn into like limp noodles instead of 16-inch steel columns and fall down upon themselves.
I've actually seen images where it appears that those steel columns that are left after the building has already exploded and vaporized, they seem to actually vaporize. And this is one of the reasons why I'm considering the directed energy weapons hypothesis.
Because it's kind of controversial, it could be dust or whatever, but it doesn't matter dust-wise. When a piece of steel starts to fold in upon itself, there's nothing else but heat that's going to do that.
Okay. And going back to the 911 movement again, are there people in the 911 movement that you are in contact with that you're very supportive of, that are supportive of you, or do you think this is a very kind of anarchistic movement with lots of threads? How are we to know who to believe in this?
Oh, I wish I knew. All I can tell you is that I try and print only the truth and documented truth. There are only two people who have really jumped on board and have actually addressed the facts presented. And once you do that, you pretty much are hooked into thinking that they had to have a nuke there. And that's Jeff Rentz, who was remarkable in giving the exposure for the information, and Dr. Bill Daigle. He came along to put his credentials behind the information I presented, since I don't have a nuclear physicist degree, but I only use basic physics because, and no matter what nuclear physics little theory out there in forever land where they put 20 different variables in it, it still has to follow basic physics laws. And so you can understand the World Trade Centers by knowing basic physics. And if you can't, then there's something wrong, because it has to fit basic physics.
It has to follow the rules of nature.
Yes. There's right. No, you know, it just has to. Unless, you know, we can suspend them for a day, unless Bush is going to put that on his martial law list.
Should Congress oversee the executive, or it seems like in the last few years we've got some topsy-turviness with the way our government's performing, and...
I disagree.
You do? And meaning?
Because they've both been complicit, both of them. I mean, they've taken away rights, family rights, they've taken away property rights, they've taken away civil liberties. A free speech zone in America. A free speech zone. That's unbelievable. And that's all past Congress. It's not just the president.
So is it like dereliction of duty or criminal in nature?
Oh, we've got 95% of our representatives that need to be impeached and indicted. Now, they may not need a death warrant as a punishment because, you know, not everybody lied about the war to get us into it. But they helped along the lines, and they definitely did unconstitutional things. And at the very least, they need to be fired from their jobs, and their pensions need to be cut. And we're talking about a large percentage of this government, not only the feds, but the states are no different. They've been destroying constitutional rights for decades, even family rights. That's why I don't know if it's enough people to decide that something's going to be done because, I mean, once you started taking away parental rights from people, I mean, we had parental rights revoked because kids went to a home school because somebody wanted a business or their schools wanted more money from the feds, so they would report the kids as not being in school. They break in like Gestapo and frisk the kids, strip search them. And you don't get anybody doing anything. So I don't know what it's going to take, but I do know we're in dire, desperate times.
Would you say we're in the Fourth Reich, perhaps?
Shock and awe. Look, everything, Nazi Germany is a blueprint for this government. They even use the same words.
Right.
It's an exact 100%, I mean, everything. It's all nationalism. Oh, I'm American. We are the good guys. Kill them all.
Homeland security.
Fatherland. Homeland security. Yeah, that's straight out of Nazi Germany.
And, of course, fascism is just simply the form of government where corporations run the state. And you have a corporate state, and this is what you had in Germany, and this is what we have here. So in terms of an economic model, capitalism then can be seen to harden into fascism, in which the very few control the very many. Or as one person said, fascism is capitalism with guns and that kill.
Well, they've got a lot more guns now than they, you know, I mean, there's no way for any type of violent action to be able to do anything against this government. And it's counterproductive, and I try and tell people that there's, you know, there's a way to stop this government. This government can be stopped in a month's time. If the 50% of people who believed that 9/11 was either an inside job or at least not stopped would just say, hey, I'm not spending any more money. I'm saving every nickel I can. I'm not going out. I'm not buying a bunch of new stuff. I'm not keeping up with the Joneses. I'm going to save my money. I'm going to work as little as possible. I'm going to shut this government down financially. In communist countries where power of the government has become so strong that individuals can't resist, that was the only way that they controlled them. And it's the only way that I can see that's going to work.
So do you see Do you see 9/11 then as part of an agenda to dismantle this country then?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they've shown what the reasons were in Operation Northwoods. They've shown that they will do whatever they need to do with Agent Orange. The scumminess of these people to protect their jobs and to protect what they have and to protect the power has been documented many times. Yeah, but people have, you know, some just listen to Fox News and ABC and they're not getting told anything except that, oh, Iran's dangerous, Iraq's dangerous, weapons of mass destruction. Of course, where they had weapons of mass destruction there, we sold them to them 20 years prior.
You know, the title of the paper that I wrote most recently is 9/11 was an inside job and a psyop or a psychological operation. Would you agree with that? And if so, would you comment on how 9/11 might have been a psychological operation against the American people?
Well, it's the same way that Pearl Harbor was a psychological operation, the same way that they let Pearl Harbor happen. You know, they even, which just amazes me. You know, if they had warned the guys like 15 or 20 minutes before, you know, they'd have still had the damage, the attack they wanted, but they'd have saved the hundreds and thousands of lives probably. But they wouldn't have got the PSYOPs effect. When the U.S. Liberty was attacked by Israel jets and boats, supposedly an accident, you know, that was to start the aggressions and blame it on Egypt so that they could have a war there. I mean, this is
about the Gulf of Tonkin.
Yeah, this is not new stuff. This has been done year after year after year. And how do we know it's still happening? Because they keep covering it up. They keep denying accountability. They keep not prosecuting anybody. They just say, oh, well, yeah.
So your solution then would be for a sufficient number of Americans to kind of drop out of the consumer mode, to save some money, to stop supporting the corporations that are supporting the government. Is that did I hear that right?
Well, you know, it's not only the corporations, it's the government. If you should stop supporting, because when you buy, you keep up with the Joneses, there's a nickel of every dollar, but it's not just a nickel. It's a nickel from the guy that makes it. It's a nickel from the guy who earns money to make it. It's a nickel from the guy who transports it. It's a nickel from the guy who sells it. You know, it's a nickel after nickel after nickel. And we just keep saying, well, we hate what's going on, and, you know, you can't vote to do anything anymore. And people don't even run on anything except for Ron Paul. You know, they vote on, I'm for families. I'm American. I'm hard working. But no specifics. And even when they do have specifics and you vote for them, the electronic voting machines take care of your results. I wrote an article, I think just prior to the 9/11 ones, that where I did some information on voting in Louisiana and electronics, because the Brennan study came out where they had a group of scientists from government, private industry, and they went over all the electronic voting machines from top to bottom in multiple states, and they said they gave four little things that needed to be done to ensure voting. Been 2 years since that happened. At least 2 years. What do we have, 4 or 6 years since they've been talking about doing something for voting, but just can't seem to get it to be done. Somehow we just still keep getting those electronic voting machines.
Which can easily be defrauded and controlled.
Oh, yeah. If you look at HBO's Hacking Democracy, there's a significant proof in there. If you look at my article, New City of New Orleans and 36 other state elections fixed, there's documentation in there. Of Clint Curtis, who wrote a program for the Florida swap for Bush.
Right, right.
In HBO's Hacking Democracy, they show how you can put the card in and get out whatever vote you want to get out without adding anything else.
Yeah, I believe a statistician from Penn State calculated the odds of the so-called redshift happening in the three swing states, which I think were Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida, all of which had exit polls showing that Gore had won, or excuse me, Kerry had won, and then they all wound 2 or 3 or 4% for Bush. He said the statistical odds of that is 1 in 250 million occurring in a random system. But then, in fact, this redshift also happened in another 10 or 11 states which exit polls showed went for Kerry, but in fact they all were carried by Bush. So therefore, what we have is overwhelming evidence that the electronic voting machines helped Bush steal the 2004 election.
Oh, absolutely. And there's also significant evidence that the same thing went on in 2000.
Right, right.
So, I mean, we no longer have an on-par civilian and military. I mean, they got microwaves now, they got lasers, they got stun stuff, they got, you know, and they can use them all because, oh, we needed it to control them.
Yeah.
You know, they're shooting calm, peaceful female, older and protesters with stun bullets for just being on the street with a sign.
It's not America, is it?
Yeah, I mean, so we have no firearm recourse, and innocents get hurt besides the ones that need to. But so, I mean, there's no way for any type of armed revolt to happen. There's no way right now for voting to make any difference because they just have the votes do what they want. But they can't. They can print money out of thin air, but they're going to have to give it to themselves. If the people would just start, stop feeding this government money.
There's a number of ways that some of people can become active, and maybe, you know, I mean.
As far as I can see, the only hope we have right now for at least getting some information out and a possible exposure of the Constitution to this government again is Ron Paul. So I would say the number one thing to do is investigate Ron Paul, see if you really can stand behind the document that made this country what it is and is the best document that has ever been put out as far as a self-governing people, the Constitution. You know, that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, well, oh, the constitutionalists didn't know about this, so they didn't know about that, and we need to change this stuff. But that's not true. And the Constitution is not just the words that are on the Constitution. They're the historical background of every debate and every discussion that was had, showing the reasons why those words were put there. And when you consider that, you see without a shadow of a doubt, for the last almost a century, this government has continued to be unconstitutional, to be greedy, to be corrupt, and we continue to put the lesser of two evils in office and wonder why there's evil there.
What's your opinion of Kucinich?
Kucinich is not a constitutionalist. Out of the, And until you start invoking the Constitution, government is just going to keep growing and growing and growing. And because the only control over government was the Constitution. And we no longer have lesser representatives like senators and representatives because they're all part of the same coin of power, greed. We no longer have presidents that are concerned about the people. They're just concerned about power and greed. We no longer have courts because the presidents have handpicked members who decided that habeas corpus is just a little luxury.
Well, I'm very fascinated with your take on what happened in New Orleans as being a kind of an exercise in how to take a city out. Would you comment some more on that and how that might fit into kind of police state agendas, et cetera?
Well, if martial law is declared, there are going to be groups of people that are going to have to be rounded up. What's the Continuance of Government Act or whatever they call it?
Continuity of government.
Continuity of government. That's it. That's where the everybody's pretty much taken out except for one person, and they decide what's going on. And if other people don't like it, they've got to be able to move them out. They've got to be able to arrest them. They've got to be able to continue this fascist government. And to do that, you've got to be able to know that you can move large amounts of people against their will.
So it's not.
And they did it in Katrina.
It's not that FEMA was incompetent and didn't show up to help. They actually were arresting people and rounding them up, and this was kind of an exercise in the population control. Would you say that?
I spent 11 days on my roof so that I could try and salvage what little I had left as soon as the water was down. I was in my house. taken water out of, I had like a 4-foot vase that I was getting water out of, when I hear sounds of the police, come over here, come on out. So since I had talked to him multiple times and didn't want to come out and was tired of talking to him, I just kind of sat back in the room. Next thing I hear is a couple of noises in the living room, and them saying they're coming in. So finally I figure, well, I guess I better get out there and see what's going on. So I walk into my living room. The cops have come in through, bounty hunters, the FEMA bounty hunters, because that's exactly what they came in. Three airboats, 12 to 15 of them. I had two FEMA deputies, one in each window. They had pushed in my screens because I had the windows open to try and let the moisture out from the floors that had just been submerged and were now clear. And they tell me to come closer, and I told them, no, I don't think so. And they said, come on closer over here. And I said, just shoot me. And I put my hands up in the air as high as I could get them. And I made the turn and walked out of the room, and then I went up to the roof again. And thought seriously about going back in the water, but I just really didn't want to do that. It was pretty funky water. I'd been in it earlier, and it didn't get better with age. So I'm sitting there thinking about how I might have to go in the water when I hear a loud thud. They're trying. One of the few things left in my house that's worth salvaging is some hurricane windows that I had just bought. So they wanted more access to the house, so they just decided they're going to start breaking out windows to get into the house. So I'm up onto my roof. I said, what are y'all doing? Well, we're trying to get in the house. I said, well, shit, you're breaking my windows up. He said, well, you better come down or we're going to keep doing it. Next thing I know, I hear a voice to the side of me saying, if you move, you're going to be shot. If you move, you're going to be shot. I just want to make sure you know that if you move, you're going to be shot. So we're talking a little bit to the guy. He's like 40 foot away. One's with an M16 and the other a rifle. It wasn't an M16, whatever they're carrying around now. And another guy with a 12-gauge shotgun. Both of them look pretty much pointed at my chest. So I tell this guy who's doing most of the talking, I said, what am I doing that y'all got to come in here with rifles and pistols and shotguns? And I'm sitting there looking at a 12-gauge shotgun and a rifle pointed right at me after they told me they're going to shoot me several times. And he says, we don't have any shotguns. At this point, I realize this guy don't know who's with him, no idea of what experience he has, doesn't know diddly squat because he don't even know there's a 12-gauge shotgun looking at me.
Would these be Blackwater employees?
I better get down before I'm found like one of the other thousands floating in the water that we don't know why he's dead. So they cuff me, put me in the boat, take me to the first stop. I don't want to go. You're going to be arrested. Take me to the Superdome. I don't want to go. You're going to be arrested. Take me to the airport. I don't want to go. You're going to be arrested. Put me on a plane. I don't want to go. You're going to be arrested. 15 minutes before we're where we're supposed to be, Rockford, Illinois, they tell us where we're going. 80 people and about 40 dogs. Took me 4 days to get home.
Do you have any idea that were these people with Blackwater or one of the military contractors, the so-called paramilitaries that were also contracting to be in?
All I know is they told me FEMA deputies, but they came in just like, you know, if you watch the bounty hunter shows, do you watch any? Have you ever
Yeah,
seen
I've seen those, sure.
Yeah, well, that's the exact way they came in.
Did they have any idea who you were? Were they giving you special treatment, or is this the way they treated people?
I have no idea. I know that they tackled an elderly woman up on around the St. Charles area. I know that it was done to multiple people. But why, how they picked them out or why, I have no clue.
When you got off the plane, did you have any, you know, were you allowed to take anything with you, and did you have any way to, you know, support yourself?
I had nothing but my pants. I had no shirt. I had my pants, no money, no nothing.
And they didn't give you anything to support you?
Got to the airport. It was freezing cold in the airport with the, you know, the ACs running. Didn't I had to find somebody who had some T-shirts and got a T-shirt to put on. Got to Rockford, Illinois. The people in Rockford were awesome, just excellent. Went on a hunger strike for about 18 hours and wouldn't go in the building. And then finally I decided, well, hell, I can get out of here quicker than I can get anybody to do anything on a hunger strike. So I started gearing up to get home. Caught the second train from Chicago to go to New Orleans, or actually Hammond, and got back just in time for Rita.
This is an incredible story, and I, speaking for myself, I think probably myself and most other Americans have not been told stories like that, certainly by the mainstream media. And is there any? How can we get the word out about this kind of what really happened at Katrina?
Well,
New Orleans.
Oh gosh, come on! I mean, you see this happening all the time. You've got people being shot by these stun bullets and being tasered for not getting up off the floor. And I mean, the fascism of this government is rampant and is seen in multiple different areas. I mean, how is it that when you go from one house to two house, one parent becomes a visitor and the other parent becomes a parent? I mean, in this is 50% of our population. 25% are visitors to their own children. The government is now the head of the family. And if people aren't even, I mean, homeschooled children were taken from their parents just because they were being homeschooled. And they, people aren't doing anything. I they're not going to be concerned about me being taken out of my house at gunpoint.
Well, weren't they taking families and splitting them up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Some people went weeks without knowing where their relatives were.
And are they rebuilding your neighborhood?
No. This place is dead. We've got maybe a third of the people here, maybe 40%, but it's not, I'd say maybe only 20 or 25% of the residents are back. But I mean, there is no stopping this global warming. They're talking about, in 100 years, in 2100, the glaciers and the Antarctic and Arctic are melting three times faster than they were in 2000. I just read an article about Greenland. Greenland's having earthquakes because the chunks of ice are so huge that are falling off the ice mass that they're creating earthquake-sized tremors. We're talking about 20 years. New Orleans is history.
Well,
New York is history. Tokyo is history. Stop rising water with a little levee. We'd still have Atlantis.
Well, I was hearing Dr. Deagle speak of them being, you know, there was a lot of volcanic activity under the ocean that was warming it.
The amount of ice on areas of Earth has been pretty standard. So you have a certain amount of pressure that has been being exerted. When you start to get that ice melting, not only do you release pressure from where the ice is, but you increase pressure where water is.
So what do you think
the causes?
So you're
talking about tremendous forces that are being done to the Earth merely as a result of global warming.
Well, you know, this is a subject where I actually have quite a bit of academic experience and expertise, and My take is that the geopolitical problems that we're looking at right now, the potential invasion of Iran, which could use bunker buster nukes and involve us in a kind of a World War III scenario,
Russia and China are not going to sit by and just let that happen.
I think this is much, much, much more immediate threat than global warming. Global warming is out there on the horizon, distant horizon.
We're talking about a decade.
Well, the Project for New American Century documents show that that there are many countries that are on the hit list of this particular group of neocons, and they include Iran and Syria and even China and Russia. And so they're actually talking about complete global domination of the world's resources, of space, of cyberspace. So we have a government that you might say is classic definition of a rogue government, and that they are basically carrying out a game plan which was written for them by a group of neoconservative ideologues, many of whom are Zionist Jews, and that this has been their game plan, and so far they've been executing that game plan. To me, the nuclear showdown that could occur in a nuclear strike.
We could be minutes from one and not know it.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot shorter term than a decade from now.
Right.
But
right.
That I have absolutely no problem agreeing with, because we could see a bright flash out right now.
So it's a choice between bad and badder?
Except for Ron Paul and maybe a few others, the people just don't seem to be able to respond. They've been so brainwashed and so pleased with themselves and their lives, I guess they just can't be bothered until they come to put them in the camp.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of people that are, that are claiming that after they hear some of the information about what took place on 9/11 didn't fit the government's story. It seemed to be kind of an awakening experience for them, and that they have been using that to start looking at other aspects in their lives. There are those that seem to be waking up to, many of the myths that we've been brought up with.
If you look at some of the poll numbers when you look at the internet and things like 9/11, Ron Paul, that kind of stuff, those people tend to be rather informed and on real news and not just the political propaganda being handed out by five media corporations. And if you look at those numbers, you're looking at between 60% and 80% of people that pretty much agree and identify with the truth and know that this government has just gone crazy with power. But still, but it's hard to say how much mass of people we have, how much vitality we have, because when people do things, their numbers are underreported or they're not reported, and it's kind of hard to just for the people to feel their power.
I agree
with that.
There's some out there that have been becoming active and trying to inform people of possible false flag events in the future. Are you involved with anything that?
I'm part of Ghost Troop and. Captain May and them have been working with Portland. Any place that they're starting to have a drill, people start to get antsy. Because I tell you, if you've got some classified papers and a drill, I'd start leaving town. Because, if you look at the World Trade Centers all the big heavy-duty financial documents were in those buildings, as well as some profit for Silverstein.
Well, there was also paperwork for the WorldCom and Enron.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all the important. And Oklahoma. Lots of incriminating papers. So I'm telling you, you have a drill in your area and you've got a place where they're storing incriminating papers, I'd get the hell out quick. because they're telling you. They're telling you in their little propaganda medias how they're going to attack Iran, how there's going to be a nuclear attack on the cities. I mean, they're not backing down.
Wasn't there a large amount of gold in the basement of the towers in that?
Well, there's conflicting stories, but without a doubt, there was a lot of gold. But, of course, hell, we're taking cargo planes that move tanks, filling them up with money, filling them up with $100 bills, and just sending them out.
And the reason?
There was $3 billion disappeared from Iraq. It was supposed to calm the government or get things lubricated for government or whatever it was. You hadn't heard about that? Yeah, they loaded a DC-9 full of $100 bills.
Right. I did hear about that. Printed by the Federal Reserve, and Paul Bremer squandered it. It disappeared. He testified before Congress, and he said he didn't know where it went. And, of course, what we've seen in Iraq is the complete privatization of a very, very oil-rich country, the country that supposedly has the second highest oil reserves in the world, by American corporations.
And I'll tell you what else they have. They have the largest paramilitary army ever. They've got 100,000 Blackwater, over 100,000 Blackwater troops that are used to running roughshod over Iraq that have no problem shooting a vehicle and its driver just because it's too close to them. And guess what? When Iraq's over, they're going to need some place to go. And they're going to need some more people to work on. And it's going to be us unless we start doing something about it.
It was ironic that while Katrina was going on, the local National Guard couldn't respond properly because so many of them had been drafted to Iraq. Meanwhile,
and all their equipment too. Most of their equipment went with them.
Well, also 9/11 was used as a reason to go invade these countries and.
Absolutely. I mean, you got 12 of them were Egyptians or Saudi Arabians.
Saudi Arabians.
So
yeah.
We go invade Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right. And the war plans had been drawn up before the event of September 11th.
Oh, well, the Patriot Act was drawn up long before also.
Right, right. So we're dealing with a series of planned maneuvers that had been scripted well before. So this is a more de facto evidence that 9/11 was part of the game plan.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, it's getting to the point where the program, is there any summation of what we've talked about here that you'd like to make, Dr. Ward?
All I can say is we need to start looking to the Constitution to be saved from this government that's just going crazy. We need to have true and accurate voting. Those are two of the biggest things that I can think of. The next thing is we need to start saving because not only to fight this government, but things are very likely to get tight here. We've got tremendous water problems coming up soon.
Meaning
that it's my feeling that that's why Bush bought the land in Paraguay. Paraguay has, as far as I know, the only large water aquifer that has not been contaminated. The U.S. Water reserves are what, in the Great Plains aquifer, are like 20 or 30%. We've got nuclear reactors that are pouring radiated water into the soil that are contaminating. They put in 4 billion gallons in one place and raised the water level in the land 20 feet with radioactive water. We are quickly running out of water.
Yeah, and we're starting to see an attempt on the part of a few corporations such as Monsanto, et cetera, to develop a monopoly over the water supplies, not only of this country, but of the world. Bechtel.
Well, they've tried to do the same thing with seeds.
Right, with food and water.
That's what they told Iraqi farmers. They couldn't use seeds that they had saved for generations. They had to buy Monsanto seeds.
And this is the place where agriculture was started about 12,000, 10,000 years ago, the cradle of civilization. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Carlstrom, do you have any summations on this, too?
Well, no, I'd just very much like to thank Dr. Ed Ward for his, I would say, heroic efforts, and he's one of many people I think are really trying to get to the bottom of this, who are really trying to save this country, and he's in an information war, and he seems to be working awfully hard and making some progress, so I would like to really thank him for the time that he's put in and for joining us tonight, and I think we learned a lot.
Yes, I feel the same way.
Well, thank both of y'all. I'm always glad to get exposure of the information. Even if it's a few people at a time, and I'm trying to get active on a local level because I just don't see much activity in the Internet. And while there's a good bit of information transfer, there's no action, and I'm hoping maybe we can start doing something on a local level somehow.
Well, again, I want to thank you, Dr. Ward, and this has been Truth Quest, and with Dr. Eric Carlstrom as a co-host and Melody. And so have a good evening. And next is Joe Frank, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Ward.
Thank you. Y'all have a good night.
Okay, good night.